my very close friend Paul Rubens, we had a lot of discussions about, oh man, I don't want to be, known just as Elvira or Pee-wee. And as time went on, we go, I want to just be known as Elvira or Pee-wee. We saw that it was really working.
Hi, I'm Dan Bova, and welcome to How Success Happens, the show where I talk to people who have used their talents, their charm, and a lot of hard work to scare up an iconic career. Like today's guest, Cassandra Peterson, who you might know as Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Yes, the one and only Queen of Halloween and pop culture icon is here, and we're going to talk about her legendary career and her first ever cookbook, Elvira's Cookbook from Hell, which is available now. Welcome, Cassandra.
Hi, good to see you, Dan.
Oh man, that voice. You must get recognized everywhere you go, even if you're wearing a disguise.
I kind of do. People do recognize me from my voice. That's funny you say that. I never thought it was so unique.
So you created one of the most iconic pop culture characters in history. And I don't know if you're sick of telling this story, but I'd love to hear just what inspired it, how you developed it, because it's amazing the longevity you've had with it.
Well, yeah, it is amazing. It's been next year will be 45 years of doing Elvira, which is pretty crazy since I thought when it started it would be more like 45 days. I really didn't think it was going to go anywhere. I was starting the character when I was in the Groundlings, which is a comedy improv group in Los Angeles. It's become very popular. So many people have come out of the Groundlings, including Pee-wee Herman and Phil Hartman and Will Ferrell and what's her name, McCarthy, Mary McCarthy, all of these people, amazing comedians. And I was in the Groundlings, and this is in the late 70s, and heard about an interview at a local TV station, not paying much money, but looking for a horror host. And I honestly didn't know what a horror host was. I luckily was into horror movies very, very much, but I had never heard of a horror host. Where I grew up in Kansas, we were too poor to have a horror host. So anyway, I went in on the call, and after kind of a long, grueling series of events, I ended up getting the audition. And once I got it, they told me I needed to come up with a look and a name, and I did with the help of a friend, and went back in and recorded the first show. And it was so bizarre. It was like, okay, I'm supposed to be sexy, but they want me to be funny because I'm a comedian, and then I'm talking about horror movies. I didn't really get what I was supposed to be doing at all. So I really didn't see it going for very long. And like I said, here I am, 45 years later, going, what?
So that's amazing. If that show was, I don't know, a show about car racing, your career could have been totally different.
Boy, could it ever. And I went out. I was a struggling actor, and I went out on interviews all day, every day. That's what I did, and just kind of hoping one would hit. It's almost like going to Vegas. You go on interviews and go and go and go, and you're just hoping one of them is going to work out for you.
That's amazing. And totally understandable. But like when all this started, did you have a dream where all this was going to go? Or were you just like, I'm a funny person, I love performing, and let's just see what happens?
Yeah, in the beginning, I did not have any dream of where it was going to go. Literally, like I said, it was a job. Awesome. I'm going to pay my rent this month. That'll be cool. So I didn't have a dream of where this was headed. I really didn't see any future in it. However, just within a couple weeks into it, Halloween happened to be coming up, and the whole thing blew up. It just went crazy. People were asking me to show up on their TV show, on their radio show, on their little conventions that they were having, which back then were like, 10 people and a card table. But all of that started happening just like this, damn. And My ex-husband and I, we had just gotten married, and we just looked at each other and went, "Hey, maybe there's something here, you know?
Yeah,
Maybe I have to think about this." And that's what we did.
it reminds me, I mean, it's a different career, but a couple of episodes back, I spoke with Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank, and she talked about how she got into real estate because, she was got a job answering phones at a real estate agency. And she said, if it was a plumbing agency, I would have been in the plumbing industry. So it's just so amazing how people like you seem to just grab an opportunity and make the most out of it, and you've made a whole career out of it. It's incredible.
That's what I kind of think it's all about. You get an opportunity, and it could be anything in the world, but if you latch onto it and see what you can turn it into, see what you can make it, that's how entrepreneurs and everything else are born. You know,
Yeah.
you see a little an idea, or you have an idea, and you exploit it, and you keep going. And you don't give up because there are plenty of bad times. Let me tell you, I had moments where I was very sure the character was done, or that I was done, and I just wouldn't continue. I had lots of those moments. But the thing is, you get back on the horse.
Amen to that. So where in all of your successes does having a spider named after you rank?
Well, probably at one time was number one. Now I think it's probably number a million. I've had everything named after me that you could even think of. I mean, snakes and spiders, dogs and cats and cars and God knows what else, you know? So yeah, it's getting pretty run of the mill. I mean, not that I'm not flattered that a spider is named after me, trust me.
Well, you've got this book, which I want to talk to you in a bit, but you've also got gin, which plays into some of the recipes. And I'm just wondering, people are naming animals and creatures and all kinds of stuff after you. And I'm sure you've been approached with all kinds of licensing and merchandising pitches. Are there any that stand out to you as just like, no, no way, no way, not doing that?
You know, sadly, not really. I pretty much do almost anything that comes my way. I think the only thing that I had second thoughts about might have been one of those smelly things that you hang in your car.
Oh,
So I'm
okay.
like, what does Elvira smell like? I don't know. So I had second thoughts about that, but eventually we did those too. Honestly, I don't think I turned down anything.
So one of the amazing things about, what you've been able to do, because, in today's world, there are influencers and we're kind of used to people who are, famous or become these famous characters, but that wasn't the norm back then. How did you sort of, once you sort of hit on this thing, how did you think Elvira? What was your approach to keeping Elvira in everybody's mind and keeping the character relevant and growing into all these different directions that you've done?
Yeah, you know, initially, because I was an actor, I didn't want to be pigeonholed in this one character. You know, I wanted to go out and do other roles that were like serious acting, not serious so much, but comedic roles that, you know, were better than me dressing up in a sexy black dress, you know, something. So I approached it that way, like, oh my gosh, maybe I'll be pigeonholed forever as this character. That wouldn't be a good thing. As time went on, and we saw that the character was really becoming kind of relevant, and that it became very, very tied to a national holiday, that being Halloween, my mind changed, and you know, over time. And we went, hey, this is something that's really catching on. It's something that the character is starting to represent a national holiday. That holiday is getting bigger and bigger every year. I think this is something I should stick with. And my very close friend, Paul Rubens, who at the very same time was doing Pee Wee Herman, we like it was almost the same period of time. Both of us were in the Groundlings together. And both of us came up with this character. We had a lot of discussions about, oh man, I don't want to be, you know, known just as Elvira or Pee Wee. And as time went on, we go, I want to just be known as Elvira or Pee Wee. You know, we saw that it was really working. And he always said to me that he and I were are two members of a very, very exclusive club. I can't think of another actor who's living, who's a real person, not like Batman or Spider-Man or
Yeah.
someone who's an actual human being,
Right.
has been one character for, I mean, not living now. And continues that. I think he and I were really kind of the only ones.
So Halloween is coming up. What does Cassandra or Elvira give out the door when people are knocking?
Well, I don't know what Elvira gives him, but I can tell you it's more than a handful. That's what she gives him. You know, I like to clean out my cupboards at Halloween. I like to give out like old cans of tuna that are past expiration date and old socks that have a few holes in it. You know, it's a great time of year to just clean out the closets and the cupboards, I think. So, you know, make it practical. No,
Yes.
I wish I was home to give out treats. I love trick-or-treaters. I just think it's so much fun. When I was a
Yeah.
kid, trick-or-treating was such a big deal for me and dressing up in costume. But guess what? I'm never home on Halloween, ever.
Right, you're working. Of course, you're working.
Because I'm working here.
So tell me about this book. Are you a big home cook? What went into this? And I love the title, Elvira's Cookbook from Hell. What a great title. So how did it all come together?
I love cooking. I learned to cook in Italy back in the 70s, so I make mostly Italian food myself, but cooking is a hobby for me. And I over the years I really, really loved entertaining and cooking and having dinner parties and cooking for guests. So I've always been into that, and I sort of call myself the Martha Stewart of the macabre. I gotta, you know, felt like I could do this whole thing, but make it kind of goth, kind of spooky. And that was where the idea for the cookbook kind of came up 3 decades ago. I started talking about doing this.
Really?
30 years to
Huh.
finally get it together and get a publisher
Wow.
who believes in it and knows that there is a crowd out there who are going to enjoy this book year round. I kept getting told, oh, there's a million Halloween cookbooks out there. But I said, but this is different. This is goth lifestyle. These are my fans, my peeps.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some of your favorite recipes in there?
Well, there's one that's very dear to my heart. It's from my movie, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. And it's where Elvira makes this thing that she thinks is called a draca cozzarole, which is basically a casserole. It turns into the movie, it turns into a spell that. Into a spell that when people eat it, they get horny. But that's beside the point. I don't think that'll happen when you eat this. I don't know yet, but we'll see. So it's basically the kind of the green bean casserole I grew up with when I was a child, and we always had it at Thanksgiving. Minus the Campbell's mushroom soup in it. This is from scratch. It's really very delicious with the shallots and a little wine.
Wow.
It's really yummy. But the secret ingredient is potato chips on the top, which you have to crush by sitting on them. And that really, really makes it taste treat, I gotta say. And you crush the potato chips, you put them on, and then you put a little cheese whiz if you want to decorate it up a little. You don't have to, but that's kind of how my mom got me and my sisters to eat anything. If, whatever it was, she'd put potato chips on it and cheese whiz, and we would eat it. So that's kind of where that stems from, my childhood. So I kind of have a little soft spot in my heart for that one.
No. As a person who keeps getting told, I gotta eat more vegetables and drink more water and stuff, you start talking about cheese whiz and potato chips. I'm like drooling into the microphone here.
You can also leave those out if you really are a purist.
No. We gotta stick with the recipe. This is time tested.
Okay, all right.
So you're also quite the mixologist, as you said, you have your own gin. So are you like experimenting with cocktails all the time? How do you come up with these cocktails?
Yeah, the gin. I met with the company and we decided to make a gin that kind of mirrors the autumn season. You know, it's called an autumnal gin, and it actually has a little of the spices that you might taste in pumpkin pie, although they're very, very subtle. Mostly it's a gin, but they work great in a lot of my drinks that are in the book. There's quite a few cocktails because, if I didn't mention it before, this is an adult cookbook. It's not really for kids. Not that kids won't like the recipes, but definitely aimed at an adult crowd and a lot of different cocktails and brunches with drinks. And because let's face it, a brunch without cocktails is just a really sad late breakfast. So, there are a lot of dinners that revolve around the cocktails. So the gin came out at the perfect time.
Well, so getting back to your career, you're quite active on social media. So I'm wondering, what's your advice for surviving that particular hellscape?
Wow, my advice. Well, I abandoned Twitter. I will say that. And it's tough. You want to be relevant, you want to be out there, but you also don't want to be a part of things that are. That can be really negative, and so you're caught in this catch 22 all the time of like you want to put things out, you want people to enjoy them, you don't want to make people mad. It's like you're walking a fine line all the time. I'm sure you know, but for me, it's some of the comments and the stuff you get back are just like, oh yeah. It's tough. It's a tough world out there for social commentators and for anybody who's on social media.
So I think that's the best advice. You just ignore those people because that's all they're there for. That's what they're looking for. They just want to get a rise out of people. They just want to be angry.
It really does. Let me tell you, in 45 years of doing this and being a woman, like in kind of a sexy role model, I just let that stuff roll off my back like a duck in the water. Because what's your choices? You can let it upset you and make you angry, or you can just say, oh, well, I'm sorry they're not happy.
So we get questions from our listeners, and one wrote in, will drinking Elvira gin help me sleep better, or will it give me nightmares?
Well, hopefully it will give you nightmares. I haven't had any yet from it, but maybe it will. That would be a good thing. In my book, and I wrote the book, so
Speaking to some different cookbook authors over the years, it's usually like these people that you test the recipes out on. Do you have like a like test kitchen people that have to eat your experiments, and how do you do all that?
Oh yes, no, big team helped write this book. I didn't know what I was getting into, to tell you the truth. Putting a cookbook together is quite an undertaking, pardon the pun. But I had a team of about seven people who come up with the recipes, cook them, stage them, photograph them, and but all of them were eaten and tested and tasted by me. So in the end, if they didn't pass the taste test, they weren't in the book.
All right, so we are going to move into the speed round of this show. I'm going to ask you some rapid-fired questions. All right, so you're reaching for a cookbook. There's only two on the shelf. There's Julia Child's or Guy Fieri's. Who do you grab?
Oh, I hate to say it, but Julia Child, I am a huge fan of hers. Huge fan. I've read her autobiography. I've watched all her biopics. I just love her. She's a major hero to me.
So, your first job was hosting this horror movie show. What is the best terrible movie you remember?
Definitely Plan 9 from Outer Space. Nothing surpasses that. It doesn't get any worse than that. No. So, I mean, people ask me that. I'm always thinking I'll come up with a better answer. No, I won't. I can't. Nothing's that bad.
That's great. So, are you a horror movie fan? Is there like what's the best horror movie? Is there one that you actually think is legitimately the best?
Oh yeah, I have a million horror movies. I mean, if you're talking classic horror movies, I would say, I mean, my favorites are Rosemary's Baby, Carrie, The Exorcist. I mean, I just think those are at the absolute top. The Shining is right up there. I mean, those are the classic horror movies that I don't think will ever age, or ever go away or ever stop being scary.
And then finally, what's your favorite way to turn off your brain at the end of the day?
Oh, okay. My favorite way to turn off my brain. Well, I like to have a little glass of wine and maybe watch some mindless television that something like, well, my ultimate favorite is watching old episodes of The Twilight Zone. I'm not kidding. It's like comfort food to me.
Oh, yeah.
I love The Twilight Zone. And it just makes me calm. And I don't know what that it is about it. I like old TV. I like old movies. I don't know. Maybe it just takes me back to my childhood or whatever. But yeah, that to me is very comforting when it's been a hard day or when I'm sick at home, with a cold or something.
Well, Cassandra, so awesome talking to you. I've been a fan forever, so this is really a treat to get to speak with you. The book is Elvira's Cookbook from Hell, which is out now. People can pick it up. And what's the best place for people to follow you, Cassandra, and all things Elvira?
Elvira.com and all my social media. I'm on TikTok and everywhere else, and it's at The Real Elvira.
Well, thank you so much. This has been a real treat.